Any progress on the city's plan for Monroe Park will follow closely on the closing of the Conrad Center, Freedom House's feeding program, and a keystone of outreach to Richmond's homeless. Maureen Neal, Chief Operating Officer for Advancement at the Daily Planet, says that her organization would set up a medical clinic during mealtime at the Conrad Center and so provide services to many individuals at once. As the issue of funding and implementing Monroe Park's renovation plan resurfaces, Open Source reports on the ways in which Monroe Park serves as a resource for Richmond's poor. In addition to community, neighborhood, and Virginia Commonwealth University events, Monroe Park hosts service organizations, including several local churches and Food Not Bombs, a program with regional chapters across the United States. Here in Richmond, Food Not Bombs is facilitated by Mo Karn of the Wingnut Anarchist Collective.
We serve a free vegetarian meal to anybody who wants to come eat food and share in the park and have access to like fruits and vegetables and the sorts of things that are difficult for people to get access to in general financially, and also are the sorts of things that aren't really served in other free food settings. In January of 2014, we'll have been doing Food Not Bombs for 20 years in Monroe Park, and in that 20 years, we've only missed 2 Sundays ever. I have literally never seen any other group in Richmond serve free food that was vegetarian. Food Not Bombs will never be shuttered, and Monroe Park will never be shuttered. We're not going to let that happen. We organized in 2010 and 2011 against it, and if they're seriously making moves towards doing that again now, then they better be ready for resistance.
Still, the Daily Planet's Maureen Neal says that other organizations could increase their level of service to stanch the loss of Monroe Park, or they might not have to, that Monroe Park draws people seeking resources, and that if they knew to seek elsewhere, they would.
Morning and evening meals are now being served at the Salvation Army downtown. And there is a network of faith-based organizations, churches, congregations in the downtown area that take turns in serving people who are homeless and or hungry. So the churches offer a lunch meal. So I know that there are opportunities for people to access food. And it prepared in a kitchen that is inspected, that is approved for food preparation. So that's one of the things that we, as a healthcare provider, are concerned about. Food prepared by anyone that is offered to anyone that is not in a regulated or inspected environment. There are health concerns with that.
But Karn says that Food Not Bombs only serves vegan meals, no meat, seafood, or dairy, and that no one has ever gotten sick.
There are opportunities for people to be fed in approved kitchens.
Which begs the question, is this really about the park? For Mo Karn of the Wingnut Anarchist Collective, it is.
Well, a public park is a space anyone from any class background can use. Anybody can come to a public park and have a picnic. Public parks are one of the few communal spaces we have that aren't limited by your beliefs, is not limited by your finances. Most places that are social areas have some sort of a financial cost. People can't go into a restaurant or a club if they don't have money to buy some food or pay the cover. People can't go into a bar if they're in recovery and trying to stay clean. And people are probably not going to feel comfortable going into a church or a mosque or whatever if that's not their belief.
She says that outside public spaces do not exclude itinerant people who often have several bags that they are not allowed to bring into regulated institutions, even those that proffer food, medical, or support services.
A lot of the other services that exist in the city of Richmond that serve free food are in buildings. And being inside of a building has some distinct advantages and some distinct disadvantages. You have more facilities, the weather won't affect you as much, but the places that serve within buildings tend to be much more highly regulated. A lot of them have cops on site, which isn't really a helpful thing to making people feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. They don't create a situation that's welcoming to anybody. Those sorts of situations are also usually explicitly marketed towards homeless people. In doing so, you're sort of creating this ghettoization of people without homes and making it so that they're not even being able to network and meet other people who just, you know, live on a fixed income or want free food or, you know, need access to fresh fruit. And it's a very sort of like stigmatizing thing to create these situations where you sort of have to like justify your houselessness to be able to get access to like a bologna sandwich and some Doritos.
Quamel Bird, a 23-year-old Richmonder who uses Monroe Park to make connections, says that it's essential for the park to stay open.
It's like a outside outreach center. People need somewhere to go where they can network and do something positive within their lives. People are reaching out to help people. People are reaching out who need help. And Monroe is that type of place where they could come and get together.
Kelly Kinghorn, executive director of Homeward, said that support networks do affect homelessness. They're the single biggest preventative factor. And though resources and networking are essential for people who find themselves with compromised or no access to housing, an informal social community won't be enough to solve the foundational problem.
And so homeless people aren't different from us, right? I mean, we all need support networks. So I'm not sure it has to be in a public space. I mean, for some of us, that may be how we access support, and for others, it's not. So I wouldn't say that, oh, it has to be in a park. But I would say support absolutely makes a difference. Ideally, it would be that someone's in housing and can develop their support networks organically, you know, just like anyone else. There's a strong sense of community and fellowship in Monroe Park. And again, whether people are in housing or homeless, right? I mean, it's a public space, but it's not the only public space. So I think it's really looking at, okay, how do we make sure that the needs of people are met? We're a really generous community. There are lots of ways to meet needs, I think.
What resources do the needy in Monroe Park need?
A different issue with Monroe Park is that that's how community organizations feel called maybe to help. And I think there might be other ways. How do we change our community's response to homelessness? So rather than like, oh, I've got extra sandwiches, let me go give them to homeless people. Like, wow, why are there homeless people in our community? How can we help advocate for housing resources or mental health resources? And how could we accept, you know, a neighbor who doesn't look like us into our neighborhood? Right? I mean, I think there's, as community members, it's not just about the homeless in Monroe Park. It's about what happens there and how do we help connect those services to a pathway to stability, right? You know, how do we make it possible for people to get off the streets?
Jillian Fox, Director of Programs and Evaluation at the Virginia Coalition to End Homelessness, says that the Housing First model, that is, assessing people case by case and placing individuals in permanent housing to match their needs, is an evidence solution.
You know, I mean, the solution, and, you know, in simple terms, I think the solution to homelessness is housing. That's kind of it. So how do we do that?
What we hear from people experiencing homelessness is that what they need is housing that's affordable or employment. And certainly, you know, people need life-sustaining services, you know, food and clothing and all of that. And people need human connections. Our focus has been on how do we increase access to housing. I know it's an issue. I know it's, you know, how we plan for that. How do we talk about it? How do we make sure that our public spaces are inclusive, right? All of those are issues, but the actual park, I don't think that is a barrier to getting people into housing and getting people connected.
Kelly Kinghorn agrees that Monroe Park provides Richmond's poor with valuable basic resources and that the, quote, path to stability of the Housing First approach is the effective solution to homelessness. And Mo Karn says that the city's renovation plan sidesteps both of these services by sidestepping the population who values Monroe Park.
What I see with public service projects is that when the people who use a resource are valued, then the city goes out of its way to avoid completely shutting down that resource. If Carey Street needs to be repaved, we don't shut down all of Carey Street to repave all of the lanes at once. We do it lane by lane because we value that people need that resource and that people use that resource, and we value those people.